Week number 9, this is it. So after this, I expect everyone in the room to be 100-fold producers. I expect everybody in the room to be 100-fold producer. I've taken 9 weeks. I've slowed way down because the Lord said you'd be here on Sunday and you were here. And so we're all going to be 100-fold producers, right? Because are you good soil? I mean, we went through the whole thing. We talked about the seed of the Word of God. How many know Jesus was the Word made flesh? The Bible says the Word of God will never return void. It'll always accomplish what it was sent to do. And that seed is indestructible. It's incorruptible. It always works. But that seed has to be planted. Where did it need to be planted? We said it needed to be planted in your cardia, in the center of you, in your heart. And that cardia contains so much more than your spirit, but it's just the center of you. That's the part you believe out of. But it's also where the seed of the Word of God goes. And then we talked about this. We talked about we took a week on each one of them, and we looked at every type of soil. We saw there was wayside soil. We saw that there was stony soil. We saw that there was thorny soil, and we saw that there was good soil. And we saw that it's up to us to produce. How many of you know the seed has to get into your soil? And we looked really, just real quick review, we saw that the third kind of soil, the thorny soil, unfortunately it seems to me, is where a lot of believers live. In other words, they believe in Jesus their Savior. They believe in heaven. They even can believe in healing. They believe in prosperity, but the Bible says no fruit ever comes to fullness. In other words, there's no harvest. And I said to you that these are the most frustrated people because they believe the Word of God. They love the Lord. They love the Word of God even because the Bible says they received it with joy. They're receiving the Word of God, but nothing ever comes to harvest. How would you like to be a natural farmer and all the corn and all the cotton and all the tomatoes, everything you produced never came to maturity, and you were never able to enjoy it? You saw it. You saw the blade come up. You saw the fruit come on it, but you were never able to reap it. And a lot of Christians live there, but you and I aren't going to live there anymore. I said, you and I are not going to live there anymore. Come on, say, I'm a 100-fold producer. Do you have good soil? See, the third kind of soil is good soil. It is good soil because it does produce. But what happens? Jesus said four things. Four things enter in and choke out the Word of God. What were those four things? The deceitfulness of riches. You and I don't love money. The love of money is the root of all evil. We don't make our decisions based on money. We are not money-minded. You say, well, Pastor, will you all take up offerings here all the time and preach on finances? Yeah, stick around. Because there's a difference in being blessed to be a blessing and being covetous. And you've got to learn the difference between the two. Jesus became poor that you could become rich. Rich is not a dirty word. Amen. Either that or Jesus got us into sin. But we don't love money. It'll be a little stronger. We don't love money. Amen. Money's just a tool. So the deceitfulness of riches. The pleasures in this life. The cares of this world. The Bible says those things come in and do what to the Word of God? Choke it. And so we've got seed going in, but also that third kind of soil can never get to good soil because it's also getting weed seed. It's getting the cares of this world. It's getting unforgiveness. Remember, a root of bitterness comes in and not only chokes out your stuff, but it also goes into other people's fields. And the deceitfulness of riches. How many know Jesus said it? And so if Jesus said those four things come in, the pleasures of this life, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lusts of other things, they choke the Word of God out. So it tells me this, because I've heard people say this, well, just put the Word in there, just put the Word in there, put the Word in there. But if at the same time you're putting those four things in, at the same time, what happens? Jesus said it chokes it. Well, I just don't believe, you know, I can just live any old way I want to. It doesn't matter. You'd be wrong. Because Jesus said, who's the head of the church? Well, that's in the gospel. Well, it's still good for us. because it's still talking to us. And in a closed door session, he told the apostles, the future apostles, this is what you need to know. Because if you know this parable, you'll know them all. So we can't just say, well, that doesn't matter. I just hear the word. But it's more than hearing the word. And then last week, got to get going, talked about three gates. So to your cardia, to the center of you. So I want to look at Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 through 24. And in here we looked at our three gates. And these three gates go into your cardia, to the center of you. And this is where you either put the word in or you put the weeds in. You're doing one or the other. So Proverbs chapter number 4, Proverbs 4, verse 20. My son, attend to my words, incline your ears unto my saying. Do what with your ears? Jesus said, be careful what you hear and be careful how you hear it. So your ears are a gate to your heart. And what you put into your heart determines the outflow of your heart. Verse 21. Let them not depart from the midst of your eyes. That's another gate. So what you read, what you look at. As far as the word goes, the Bible said for us to look and meditate on the word how long? Day and night. How many know that's all day long? Day and night means all day, right? And so what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to look at the word. We're supposed to read the word. We're supposed to study the word. But whatever else you look at, be careful, little eyes, what you see. What else is going into this gate? What you're looking at, what you're Googling. Praise Jesus. What you're imaging. Is that too close to home? But whatever you're looking at, that also goes in. And if it's weeds, what does it do? Chokes the word. Who said so? Jesus. So what? Let's go on. It says, let them not depart from your eyes, keep them in your heart, for they are life to those that find them, health to all their flesh. Verse 23, keep your heart with all what? So that means my garden, it's up to who's keeping my garden. I just pray that Rhonda keeps my garden good. I pray that Pastor keep keeping my garden. Jesus, keep keeping my, oh, geez, even if you get a little sway in it. Jesus, keep my garden. No, you got to keep your own garden. The Holy Ghost will help you with your garden, but you got to keep your garden. If you read my tweets last week concerning this, I ended them with all this, guard your gates. Guard. Who's the guard of your gate? You can have people help, the Holy Ghost will help you, but you're the guard of your gate. You're the guard of your gate and you're the gardener. Keep your heart with all diligence. Listen, if we don't like what's going on in our life, how do we change it? Change what's in our heart. Keep your heart with all diligence. Out of it flow the issues of your life. If you don't like the issues in your life, change what's in your heart. Change what's in your heart. The word has to be dominate your life. Verse 24, and it says this, put away from you a froward mouth. Perverse lips keep far from me. We know this, life and death are in the life and death. So you can do it this way. Speak life, speak the word only, and what will you have? Good things. Speak death, meaning speak the things of this world. The weeds get into your heart, and they'll produce death. But who chooses that? You choose that. I choose that. Amen. It's good to have people around you who can encourage you with words, but ultimately, out of the abundance of your heart, out of the abundance of your cardia, your mouth speaks. And so if we want to change what we're talking about, what do we got to do? We got to put the seed of the word of God in it. Are y'all with me? And so this is very important because I want to take this another step as we close this out this week. And I want to look at how the plant grows and what the plant is. And because we all want, I really encourage you, listen, I wish you would listen to these things again, because I believe the Lord has given us a lot of revelation. I believe now you have eyes to see. I believe you have ears to hear. I believe your heart understands, and now you'll be converted. Because I remember what the Lord dealt with me about, because I always left that last part off, because I thought it was just talking about salvation. But in everything, you have eyes, your gate, your ears, your gate. You have ears, eyes that see, spiritual eyes open, spiritual ears open. My heart, I have revelation now. I understand. And then I can be converted. In every area of my life, there must be a conversion. And a conversion can't happen until my eyes see, my ears hear, and my heart truly understands. And then a conversion in every area. And so we're going to see how the Word of God, how this plant looks, and so that you can be a hundredfold producer. Are you ready to produce a hundredfold? Come on, can you produce a hundredfold? Is the because the Word of God will work, right? And we got our soils all fixed up, right? And we understand our gates, right? And so we're guarding our gates, right? What's left to do but start producing? Come on, I'm a producer. Are y'all producing? You ready to produce the Word of God? And it's fruit, right? And so the Word of God says this in Acts 19:20. So mightily grew the Word of God and did what? Prevailed. So this is something you got to know. This is a growing process. This is a growing process. Thank God for the instantaneous. Thank God for the gifts of the Spirit. But in our life, the truth of the matter is, everything is a growth process. And a lot of people don't stick and stay for the growth process because they want it all instantaneous. But the Word of God is a growth thing. So the Word of God grows, and it always prevails. Now let's see how it grows. Mark chapter 4, there at the very end, when he's having this conference with the future apostles, and for us, in Mark chapter 4, verse number 26, it talks about this. It said, and so is the kingdom of God, as a man should cast seed into the ground. So you are the one who takes the seed and puts it into the ground of your heart. Verse 27. And he should sleep. Are y'all glad for sleep? And rise night and day. And the seed should spring up and grow. He doesn't know how. Listen, I don't have to know how a plane works. I don't understand the law of lift. Don't try to teach it to me. I don't understand it. I don't care about it. I just want to get to the other side. I don't have to understand the law of lift to sit down in that plane and buckle my seatbelt. I just know the law of lift works. And it's always going to work when I'm on a plane. Hallelujah. And so same is with the Word of God. We have this thing of, how's God going to do this? How does this work? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It'll spring up. You don't need to know how. God knows how. All right? Verse 28. For the earth brings forth fruit of herself. First the blade. All right? So back in Illinois, where I'm from, they plant a kernel of corn. What happens? When do they plant that? Well, they plant it in the spring. What happens? First, the blade comes up. We all get excited. Then what after that? Then the stalk starts to grow. Then after that, you know, 3 ears usually shoot off of it. What happens after that? The kernels start forming on that corn. What? And after that, a full corn in the ear. I mean, it comes so from. People ask me all the time, do you believe in 100-fold? Oh, I believe in 1,000-fold. I've watched a corn seed become 3 ears of corn full of kernels. It works, and that's what the example is right here. Verse 29. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest is come. So Jesus is showing you from planting of the seed until harvest. Are you ready to have some harvest? Do you believe in harvest? Because, see, that's the whole thing about a good soil person, is they're always seeing the harvest. Some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. But they're always seeing the harvest of what? Of the Word of God that they put in their heart. The Word of God always produces a harvest. What do you got to do along the way? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6 talks about how Paul planted. So I have planted, that's Paul. Apollos did what? Watered. But what happened? What happened after that? God gave. Who's the one that gives the increase? Who grows up the seed? Do you have to know how? No, because God's doing it. But what do you have to do? You have to plant. Somebody's got to plant it. Now, when I'm speaking the word to you, and you've never heard this before, I'm planting to you. Or if you've heard this before, I'm watering you. But the thing about it is you can plant and water yourself. And how many of you know that when you grow a garden, and you know, this year is not a very good example because it's raining all the time around here now. But remember last year, if you had a garden, if you had a yard, what did you have to do? You had to get the hose or turn on the sprinklers. Because if you didn't, even though that was good seed, even though you put it in good soil, what happened to it if you don't water it? It'll shrivel up and die. And the same thing is true about the Word of God that's on the inside of you. You have to water it. How do you water it? Well, let's just say, how many know, do you believe in strength? Do you believe the strength of God's on the inside of you? How do I water that? The Lord is the strength of my life. He is a very present help to me in the time of trouble. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The Lord is my pavilion. He is my help. I put my confidence in Him. I am strong in the Lord and the power is mine. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What am I doing? I just turned on my hose. And when I turned on my hose, I got this sprinkler system that went down into my cardia, and then it was looping around the same time and going into my ears. And actually, I can get all three gates working at one time if I want to. And the best thing to do is to get all three gates working at one time. You just read the word. Do I got any habitual liars in here? No? Okay. You believe what you have to say, don't you? Don't go around lying. You know, honestly, the truth of the matter is, some people try to encourage themselves and make promises out loud to themselves they never intend to keep. Don't do that. You're messing with your spirit and you don't even know it. Well, I'm never going to eat that again. You liar. I'm going to go exercise every day this week, liar. Only say what you're really going to do. Swear to your own hurt and change not. I'm just trying to motivate myself. Well, that's what some people try to do with the Word of God. It's not a motivator. It's a way to release your faith. It's what you, and it, even until you believe it, you know, with the Word, you say it. But what am I doing? I'm going to read the Word. The Lord is the strength of my life. It went in my eye gate. It went in my ear gate and my mouth gate. I'm watering myself. And what does good water do? It'll produce a harvest. You got to have the watering of the Word of God. Listen to me. I love the fact that you're here every Sunday. Some of you on Wednesdays, many of you come to Bible Institute. I love it. Keep doing it. But if I only watered a garden once a week in the middle of the August or July, let's just say July, in Alabama in July, if there was no rain and I only watered once a week, what would happen? No maters this year. Maters is short for tomatoes. No maters this year. Why? Because it didn't get any water. Who's the chief waterer of your life? Well, you're doing a good job, Pastor. Keep doing it. I appreciate what I can do in your life, and I want to do it. I'm honored to do it. I'll get you wet with the Word every time you come. But you got to do it yourself, too. Find a system that your gates are working Monday through Saturday. Your eye gate, your ear gate, your mouth gate. Are y'all with me? Amen. We're going to water it. And so how do we, so we got this seed. So it grows. And Jesus said it grows and it never returns void. 1 Thessalonians, we'll just skip that. I want to show you this in Luke 8:15. This is the Luke account of the good soil. It says, but on good ground are they which have honest and good heart, having heard the word, they keep it. They keep it. There's some things I notice about all the Matthew, the Mark, the Luke account when it comes to good soil. They receive it. They keep it. They understand it. And they have an honest and a good heart. They receive it. See, how many of you know receiving it is more than hearing it? Every time you hear the word, what happens? Faith comes. But it's different than faith coming and you receiving it. Jesus said, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe you do what with them? Receive them, and then you'll do what? So you got to receive it. What does receive mean? Take it to yourself. How do you receive the Word of God? How do you receive it? You become one with it. In other words, you agree with it. You take it. You start doing some things with it. What is that? What did I say? You start doing some things with it. How do you know someone has received the Word? Because he said, let's look at James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verses 22 through 26. James chapter 1, 22 through 26. How do you know if you've really received it? Well, if you really receive the word, you become one with the word, you begin to act on the word, or you begin to do the word. Everybody say, I am a doer. What does that mean? I received it. I became one with it. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. I thought all I was supposed to do is hear. No, you got to hear. You got to hear so it'll go down into your heart, and that's how faith comes. But if you hear only, the Bible says you're deceiving yourself. Wow. You're deceiving yourself. Because you got to be a doer. Verse 23. For if any hear the word and be not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Verse 24. For he beholds himself and goes his way and straightway forget what manner of man he was. Verse 25. But whoever looks in the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, keeps it. Jesus said, if you want to produce fruit, you're going to have to keep it. This keep it. In other words, I'm going to have to keep watering. I'm going to have to keep sowing. I'm going to have to keep on doing it. This is a process, and I'm going to continue, and I'm not going to be a forgetful here, but I'm going to be a doer of the work. This man shall be blessed in his deed. Verse 26. If any man among you seem to be religious and bright as not his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is vain. We'll just stop there. Can you see there, even in that, some of the gates are mentioned again? So it's important for you and I to understand that if we're going to see a harvest, the word, yes, it grows. First, you know, it'll come up, and there it is. It'll be, we'll get all excited. We'll get excited. But then it'll grow up to a stalk, and then the ears will come on it. And we got to keep watering it, and we got to keep the weeds out. We got to keep away from the deceitfulness of riches. We got to keep away, from worries and cares. We got to get away from the lusts of other things. We got to keep away from the pleasures of this life. Because when those go into our gates, it chokes out the word of God. And then no fruit ever comes to full fruition. But you and I want fruit, don't we? Because the word works. And you've got a good heart. And we're going to keep the weeds out. And we're going to keep watering it. And listen, this becomes, out of the issues of our heart, this is a lifestyle now. So I do this, we got to do this all day long, every day. So where I'm always sowing. I'm always watering. It's always growing up. And so now that you know that, I want to show you what the Bible likens you unto. So everybody in the room, you have now just become a fruit tree. Pick your favorite. You're a fruit tree. So you're a pear tree, you're a peach tree, you're an orange tree, you're some kind of tree. Or a vine. You can be a grapevine. Whatever produces, something above ground that produces fruit, that's who you are. Okay, so you're not fruity in a bad way. You produce fruit. And you're a producer, some 30, some 60, but we're going for the 100-fold stuff. Because you're good soil. Amen? And you've gotten the weeds out. And you're watering your garden, because out of it flow the issues of your life. And you're not hearing only, but you're doing it. So you're keeping it. You're tending it. All right? You're keeping it. And so Psalms 1:3, familiar scripture to you, says this, and we'll be like a tree. Everybody say, I'm a tree. Planted by the rivers of water. Oh, okay, this is new. Rivers of water that bring forth his fruit in his season. How many of you know, everybody in the room, we've got seasons. What are the seasons? Well, there's planting season. You know, first the season is you got to get the soil ready. So we got the soil ready, then we planted. We've gone through all this. We've got our soil ready. We planted. Now we're watering. We're keeping the weeds out. We're keeping the varmints out with the corn. You know, we have to keep the raccoons away. Got to keep them rascally deers away. Oh my gosh, they can eat a cornfield in just a moment. Them beautiful deers. How we hate them. Because they came and ate all of our corn. And, you know, they look cute. But anyway, so they look beautiful. But, they're eating my produce. Rabbits are cute too, but you eat all my cabbage and we'll get mad about it. You keep it up, so they're trying to, something's trying to always take your fruit. Because you're supposed to have a harvest. Listen, let's quit being good at not getting a harvest. That's just the way it is. No, it's not the way it is. You should be more surprised when something doesn't happen than when it does happen. I'm going to say that again. You should be more surprised when something doesn't happen than when it does happen. We are producers of fruit. What is fruit? Well, Jesus said in John's gospel in chapter 15 and 16, it talks about your fruit being answered prayer. Fruit is not just talking about the fruit of the Spirit. A fruit is not just people being born again. How many know those are good fruit? And it's good to get people born again. The precious fruit of the earth. That's just one kind of fruit. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. That's another kind of fruit. But he also says fruit that he prayed that your fruit would remain. And if you read there in John 15 and 16, it's talking about prayers or the things that the Lord has provided or the word of God. That fruit would come to you and you would keep it and it would remain. How do you get it? Let's go back to Psalms 1. We'll be like trees. Everybody say, I'm a tree. Planted by the rivers of water. Right? And what are we supposed to be doing? We're supposed to bring forth fruit. Are you fruitful? The Lord loves fruitful and multiply. He wants you to be fruitful. Amen. His leaf shall not wither. And whatever he does shall. The Lord's for that. What is this river of water? We could look also, we don't have time. It's Jeremiah 17, 5 through 8, talks about the same thing. Talks about a tree. You're a tree. And, you know, even during drought, what I've noticed about those trees that are planted by rivers, that are growing along the river, they're still green. Their leaves are still green. Everything else may be dead all around for miles, but everything by a river is still living. Why? Because its roots go down into the riverbed. Now here, this river, the rivers of water, there's two kinds of waters. There's the well of salvation that springs up to eternal life, but then there's rivers. Remember in John's gospel, Jesus in John 7, 37 and 38, he said, out of your belly, out of the center of you, out of your cardia, will flow rivers of living water. Are y'all glad you're filled with the Holy Ghost? On a Sunday morning in Alabama, are you glad you're filled with the Holy Ghost? We are not ashamed of the Holy Ghost. We love the Holy Ghost. We are filled with the Holy Ghost. Jesus is the baptizer of the Holy Ghost and fire. Hallelujah. I'm full. I'm full. Are you full? What is that? That's rivers coming up from your innermost being. What does it do? One of the things we impress upon you is we're a word and spirit church. Not word only, not Holy Ghost only. If you have word only and the Holy Ghost is never allowed to move, what do you become? Religious, dry, and brittle. If you're a Holy Ghost church, people call that a Holy Ghost church, where there's always just, you know, wildness, no word, no sermons, what is that? That'll cause you to be flaky. That's fruity in a wrong way. We need a balance of the word and the Holy Ghost. Amen? We preach the word and let the Holy Ghost do what the Holy Ghost does. Amen? And we should do that in our lives. What does flowing with the Holy Ghost do in your personal life? Out of your belly, out of your cardia, out of the innermost part of you will flow rivers of living water. Now listen, you've got two sources of water that come to help your garden. Your mouth can be a hose. Your mouth can be a sprinkler system. But you've also got this river on the inside of you. That you've also got this river on the inside of you. That you'll stay full of the Holy Ghost, stay full of things. That's what it means, that your tree is planted by a move of the Holy Ghost. You ought to have your own personal move of the Holy Ghost in your life all the time. Come on, not wait until saturation meeting once a month, not waiting for church on Sunday or Wednesday, but you ought to have your own Holy Ghost party. You ought to have your own Holy Ghost movement all the time in your life, because what does it do? Out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. One of the things that river does is it waters your tree. And it keeps your leaves always green. And it keeps you producing, so when due season comes, your fruit won't be withered away. And when you need the harvest of what you believe for, it's easy to get a hold of. Are you with me? It's easy to get a hold of. So I want to show you this too. Y'all want to produce more? You want to get to the hundredfold? Now let's look at John's Gospel chapter number 15. I would be remiss if I didn't tell you this. This is how you produce more fruit. So you got to have a river. Everybody say, I got a river of life flowing through me. Amen. I was thinking about this. This is a little side thought. About the trees in the book of Revelation. Where are those trees planted? By the river of life. What's in those trees? Healing. The leaves are for the healings of the nation. Are you a tree? I just showed you were. What are you supposed to be doing as a believer? Laying hands on the... And what are they supposed to be doing? But you see, if we don't have leaves and fruit, then we're not going to be able to minister out like we need to minister out. You and I need a move of the Holy Ghost. You and I need the power of God. Are you grateful for the river of life? Who's the source of that river? Jesus. The Bible talks about in the book of Revelation that Jesus is the source of that river. And then he moved the river on the inside of you. Glory to God. Are you grateful for the river? All right. We got to keep moving. John 15. Jesus said this, I'm the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. So Father God is the farmer. He causes it to grow, the seed to grow. You don't need to know how, but he causes it to grow. Jesus said, I'm the vine. Verse 2, every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. Aren't you glad that's not you? And every branch, do I got any fruit bearers in the room? What does he do to you? Oh, I lost some of you. What does he do to you? Purges. Oh, that's fun. It's fun. What does that mean? Purge. That means he just gets rid of the unnecessary stuff. Like the Holy Ghost will be dealing with you, and he'll say, you know what you're doing there? That's a weight. That's a weight. And I'd just like you to get rid of that. What's he trying to do? Get some things off of you so you can bear more fruit. And that sin, we're just not going to put up with that. We're just going to get rid of that altogether, right? I mean, just what does he do by purging you? Well, I mean, he's cutting things out of your life and my life that keep us from being a hundredfold producer. And so if you want to produce a hundredfold, then you and I have to be open to the clipping. Nobody's excited about that? Well, see, it's how many of you know even your fruit trees or your rose bushes or whatever, if you really want them to be the best they can be, you're going to have to get rid of the dead stuff or get rid of what's not growing good so the part that is growing good can flourish. It's taking stuff away. It's taking nutrients from your life that could be better put to what's supposed to be producing. If a branch is this there and it's not got any fruit on it, what are you supposed to do with it? If it's a fruit tree, you're supposed to clip it off. Because it's got leaves, but nothing happening. Well, it's not doing what it's supposed to do. If Jesus was here, he'd curse it. Not you. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad God's always good? Are you with me, though? Verse 3. Now you are clean through the word of God, the water of the word, which I have spoken to you. Verse 4. Abide in me and I in you. And the branch, how many know? He keeps saying this, so this must be true. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. Verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. There it is again. He that abides in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Is that you? I'm going to bring forth much fruit. For without me, how many know this is just, without him we can't do anything. Without you, Lord, I can do nothing. Verse 6. If a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch and withered. Men gather them, cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Verse 7. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, if you live vitally united to me, and my words live vitally united in you, you'll ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified. I didn't get to this in first service, so I made it to you. I'm glad I got here. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. Herein is my Father what? And what are you supposed to be doing? Bearing much fruit. The Word of God is supposed to be producing a hundredfold in your life and in my life. And when we do, it's not just for your, listen to me, it's not just for your benefit. It brings glory to him. It brings herein. Come on, listen. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. And that's the proof that you're a real disciple. Jesus didn't say, don't just go make converts. He said, go make disciples. What does a disciple look like? Ooh, glory to God. I've been asking the Lord some of these questions because he told me to disciple you. And well, what does that mean? Well, y'all be bearing a lot of fruit. How can I tell if I'm doing my job? You're going to be bearing lots and lots of fruit. Amen? Hallelujah. Verse 16 of John 15. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. and not only bring it forth, that your fruit should remain. You say, well, that's talking about getting people born again. That's wonderful and that's great, but it's not. That whatsoever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. It's talking about the word coming to pass in your life. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. You should go and bear much fruit, and your fruit should remain. And anything, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he's going to give it to you. Glory to God. Glory to God. It is the will of God that you produce 100-fold. It is the will of God that the Word of God work in your life. And we've spent these 9 weeks going over the details of how to be a producer so that it brings glory and honor unto the Lord. I'm telling you, I am so grateful for the Word of God. The Word changed my life. And it's continuing to change my life. There's not one of us in this room that haven't had situations and problems and things come up from our past, from in our present, and things that'll come in the future that we're going to need help. But what will do it? Putting the Word in every day. Keeping our soil clean every day. Being a fruit producer of the Word of God so that we can bring glory and honor to the Father. Is that what you want to do? Amen. There's nothing else we want to do except bring glory and honor to Him. And how do you do that? By doing the Word, by walking in the Word, letting that fruit produce in your life. Be a tree planted by the river of water. And it's time for you to harvest. Okay, I said I was done, but I got to give you one more thing. We looked last week at Galatians 6:9. It says, in due season, you will reap if you faint not. Now listen, what's the devil trying to make you do in harvest season? Anytime it's harvest season, anytime it's your time, anytime that God is ready to do something, what does the devil always try to do to you? He tries to make you weary. What do weary people do? They give up. I can't do this anymore. I don't want to do this anymore. This ain't working. And then some people go too far. Where's God? This don't work. What does the devil do? Oh man, the deceiver gets happier and happier because you're believing a lie. He knows as much it's your harvest season as you do. And what does he do? He turns it up so that you feel weary. The Lord warned us. He said, don't be weary in well-doing, for in due season we'll reap. How do we keep from fainting? Oh my gosh, I got to hurry. How do we keep from fainting? Keep our mind on him, the author and the finisher of our faith. Jesus not only authored this word, he'll finish this word. If he told you something individually, he authored it and he'll finish it. But you can't get weary in the process. That the devil's trying to make you weary. He's trying to make you give up. He'll bring circumstances and things to get you to give up. But what does the Bible say? In Mark chapter 4, back to that, Mark chapter 4, I believe is verse 29. Jesus told them, when the fruit is ready, there's a planting time, there's a growing time. Now when it comes to corn, I know when it's harvest time. When it comes to a tomato, oh, I really know when it's harvest time. Just take a hose out there, wipe them off, take a salt shaker, harvest time right there in the garden. When the cotton is ready, they know. How many, they know when it's harvest time. And when it's harvest time with the Word of God, when you need something, you've got this in you, the fruit is produced. But see, what happens is, you got to do this. Well, I'm just waiting on the Lord. No. I'm just waiting on the Lord. No. When it's harvest time. When it's harvest time, immediately. Who's immediate? Who's doing this? You, the person with the garden. Immediately, he, who's that? You, puts in the sickle. Now there's the deal. What's the sickle? it's again the same thing you planted with, the same thing you watered with. Now you change it just a little bit and it becomes a sickle. The Bible said the words that come out of your mouth are like a two-edged sword. Where I come from in Illinois, they use a corn picker. Go down the rows and there's things in there that slice the stalks and pull the ears out. Down here, they use cotton pickers. Those used to be, you know, up north and here, it used to be all people. But now it's a machine with knives, but still it's always been with something sharp. What does it do? It takes the harvest from the field so that it can be used. Come on, you have got a harvest. It's ready. What's time to do? Don't let it go to waste. Have you ever seen a garden where the tomatoes go to waste because no one picked them? A field where the corn goes to waste because nobody picked it? Harvest was ready, but nobody picked it. Who's the picker? Who's the guard? Who's the sower? Who's the waterer? I mean, the Lord is obviously, without Him, we can do nothing. But He empowers you when it's harvest season to do what? Put the sickle in and start getting your harvest. Amen? Now, I know many of you have heard some of these things over and over again. But if you want to be a hundredfold producer, we're going to do all this. And I encourage you, go get on the website, hear these things over and over, send them to some of your friends, but hear them. Put them on repeat, rinse and repeat. Until because we have eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts that understand, and then a conversion. And so we're going to, everybody say, I am a hundredfold producer. Stand to your feet. Father, I thank you for every person in this room. I pray for them, Father, that the eyes of their understanding will continue to be enlightened, that their the gates of their heart, you teach them how to guard them, you teach them how to work with them, and Father, for their due season that they've entered into, the harvest season of their life, I pray that they would not be wearied, so I pray they'd be strengthened with all might in their inner man, that they'd be strong in the Lord and the power of His might, that the joy of the Lord would be their strength. And they would set their attention only on you, and as they think about you, as they keep their mind stayed in you, you keep them in perfect peace. And so, Father, I boldly proclaim like Shammah of old, that we're going to stand in our black-eyed peed patch, and we're going to receive. We're not going to let the enemy steal from us ever again. And we're going to receive our harvest. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen.